This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back. This is Geeksbox. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Now, remember Facebook? I think we spoke about this last week. And Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk—they're competing against each other. They're fighting about AI. Elon Musk is saying, don't develop AI; it's going to end our humanity. And Mark Zuckerberg is going like, nonsense. And then the day after that, Facebook apparently had to switch off one of their bots, one of their AI bots, because it was developing a language that we humans just don't understand. And then later on, I think just a few days ago, there was a report that came out. Facebook reported and saying that, those reports were actually not true because it was an experiment that they were running and they shut it down because it was just not necessary anymore. It was an experiment that they kind of completed it and we're like, none. However, I just came across another article about another chatbot that has been shut, that has been switched off. And it comes from China because these are called rogue chatbots. And the reason why they're called rogue chatbots is because they have been questioning the Communist Party and the way that they rule the country. One of the robots, called Baby Q, he was asked, "Do you love the Communist Party?" According to a screenshot that was posted on Weibo, which is China's version of Twitter, the answer that the chatbot gave was an abrupt answer that just said, nope. And then the other web user asked the chatbot, "Long live the Communist Party," which Baby Q, the chatbot, replied, "Do you think such corrupt and incapable politics can last a long time?" And with that, that is the end of these two chatbots that have apparently been run by Tencent, which is the giant, Chinese internet company with more like 800 million users now already. And they've apparently just decided, like, okay, we got to kill these chatbots because they've gone rogue.
One of the things with anything about artificial intelligence is we automatically assume that these machines are, really, really clever. And they're not. They're not sentient. They have a very basic level of intelligence. And what they're doing is they're looking at statistical patterns and they're just looking for kind of correlation. So they're learning from the things that are out there.
We're teaching them anyways. Well, it comes from us.
We're not really teaching them in that sense. Mm. They're just looking at a bunch of questions and a bunch of answers, and they're looking at the statistical probability of whatever should be the answer. So, of course, they look at all the comments that are out there on the internet and they will come up with a response like, do you love the Communist Party?
Yeah,
no. Because it sees a lot of people answering questions in that way.
That is
true. So, you can't be surprised because all you're doing is giving these things access to data and they're using the data. They don't have any context. They don't know that they're supposed to uphold the whatever the position of the Communist Party
or
in.
Do they?
Well, possibly they could have been infiltrated by democratic programming, but it's very unlikely. They're simply a reflection, a mirror of what's actually going on online.
That's very true because we always talk about the American dream, and one of the chatbots was asked a question like, could you describe the Chinese dream? And the chatbot replied, "The Chinese dream is to go to America," and the other chatbot replied, "The Chinese dream is a daydream and a nightmare." I tell you, I think Tencent have to release this chatbot as like an April Fool's prank or something that we could just play around with it. It's like a Siri gone rogue.
Yeah,
I think that's what they should going to download if they do it.
I've got a feeling the April Fool's prank might be accompanied by an April Fool's execution. So you've got to tread carefully with that one.
Carefully. Now, in the US, apparently, they're getting their stuff, a US firm is getting their stuff microchipped here.
Yes.
Are we tracking people now already?
A company called Three Square Market in Wisconsin has given its employees the opportunity to have an implantable RFID chip injected in the web between their thumb and their index finger. Now, the idea is that they can use the chip around the office. They can use it to activate doors. They can use it on vending machines. It's a very low... Well, it's a no-power chip, so it doesn't have its own independent power source, and it can only be activated from sensor pads from 15 centimeters away. Wow. So the company is saying they're there isn't really any issue of tracking staff because, you know, this is just something that they're doing for fun. The guy who runs the company was in Scandinavia doing a pitch, and he noticed that the company he was pitching to was producing these chips, and he thought it would be kind of fun to introduce it for his staff. But it does raise a lot of issues. I think one of the things we talked last week, I think, about the potential of companies in the future to insist that their staff might have upgrades to intelligence, or they might have to replace an arm with a robotic arm in order to do their job. This could be part of that same kind of process, chipping your employees so that you can track them not just around where they are at work, but you can track them in their lives beyond work as well. It does raise an awful lot of issues. Like I said, I think this particular company, they know what they're getting into. They are doing it just for fun. But there is a growing movement of kind of biohackers who are doing this kind of thing, and they're using them as smart wallets. They're using them, like I said, to control smart home devices or to pay for things with smart wallets, but even open doors.
I think in Germany, I think I read a report last week or a month ago, in Germany they're trying out an RFID that you could implant on under your skin to, you know, use the trains that they, you know, the monorail systems that they have in Germany as well.
This is exactly the same kind of technology that you'd use for that, but there are issues that this would then become a biometric device as well, and that we would be required to use it for identification purposes.
I don't want a touch and go card in my palm, though. No, don't want
no.
it. Don't want
back
it.
Your head.
No, don't want it. Now we've always talked about autonomous vehicles, Uber trying to, you know, create their own, Google, Apple. We haven't really talked much about autonomous flying autonomous taxis. But in Germany, a country that I always kind of look ahead in terms of, you know, they're very proud and very innovative, and I'm not quite sure about this next company. I don't know how they like to brand themselves as a German company, as a German innovative company, because I think this is a complete rubbish idea. It's called the Volocopter, and it's very impressive in the sense that they've raised $30 million from Daimler for its flying autonomous taxi. Have you seen one of those Chinese drones that you can buy from, you know, Times Square, Sungai Wang, all these kind of malls?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, you know, they look utter rubbish. This is what it looks like, because it just looks like a helicopter that has many propellers on top of it, and it looks like one of those 99 ringgit drones that you could buy from a Taobao store.
There is kind of an aerodynamic reason for that, I believe, which is that in a normal helicopter, when you turn the power off, it becomes a brick. So I think this is to help it to actually glide down to the surface if the power goes out.
But it is really weird because the company just announced a 30 million investment led by European automaker Daimler, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, flying cars just isn't gonna work. It's a mess. We have roads and people don't follow roads.
Well, I was gonna say, if you go back to your example about drones in malls, okay, you go to those malls and there's always some idiot who's flying the drones around your head. Those are the guys who are going to be flying the taxis.
Ooh.
You know, I think if we have, it's a lovely idea, but unless it's very highly regulated, and in fact, it would make more sense to do it without human pilots, which I know scares people a lot.
It's a lot better.
If you,
90% of your the planes that we fly, 90% of them is on autopilot.
Yeah, exactly. And that's much safer because the autopilot tells the planes how to avoid other planes. Human pilots can't see. Yeah, they can't see anything out of a plane. I mean, you know, they're looking at, I don't know, an eagle, and that's about it.
I bet you all of them are Instagramming while they're flying in the plane. All those pilots are just taking beautiful shots.
But there's no Wi-Fi.
And making money from there.
There's no Wi-Fi. They have to wait till they land.
So you might be wondering, what does $30 million bring to a company like Volocopter? Well, they say the next step is to get production ready, and it will be in the market within the next year.
Well, we also
Elon Musk took years to do the Tesla Model 3.
No, I mean, this is very advanced technology. I think Airbus is actually doing trials in Singapore this year already with an electric flying minibus, effectively. So this is technology that people want to use. I genuinely can't see it happening. I mean, anything that takes off in Singapore has to then get permission from Malaysian airspace anyway. So I really can't see it happening. I think the authorities in Johor are going to be overloaded with Singaporean taxis.
All right. We will be right back with the king of the crowd. Yes, it is not down in the dumps for this week. Happy news. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back with Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Matt Armitage. Matt, this time around, we've got King of the Crowd.
Yes, I found something I liked this week. It's very simple. It's very, very cheap.
It's very Matt.
Well, yeah, it's kind of me, I guess. We've talked a few times about people like Mark Zuckerberg being pictured with masking tape over the webcam of the laptop camera to stop people.
Paranoia.
You know, paranoia. But we do all have that paranoia. One of the things that we don't think about so much is that, you know, we're worried about people hacking into our webcam, but it's just as easy to hack into the microphone of our computer. And especially, you know, we enable things like Siri and Google Assistant and all these things on our computers as well. So very often they're listening anyway. So this is a really nice product. It's called the Nope Sound Blocker. And what it is it's basically the microphone plug that you get with your headphones, you know, that normal jack that goes into the earphone plug. And it mimics a microphone, so it actually switches off the microphone in your computer and diverts the signal to a dead end.
Ah.
So it's very, very simple. And then if you need to use Skype or whatever service, you just take it out. So I thought this was actually, you know, a really nice, quite elegant.
How much is this going for?
Really, really cheap. They start at $10. So it's priced really nicely. There is a package where you can get a webcam cover as well. But I think that's a bit kind of superfluous. Basically, it's like a little sliding door that you put over the front of your computer.
You can get it for ₱5.
But yeah, precisely. I mean, I don't think you need that. But I really do think that the Nope Sound Blocker is a really cool idea for anyone who's, you know, discussing kind of sensitive information or feels that they might be overheard. Delivery is going to start, rollout's going to start in October 2017. Like I said, the prices start at around $10 and they will ship to anywhere in the world.
It's actually kind of both. We've got King of the Crowd and Down in the Dumps, because King of the Crowd is the sound blocker, Down in the Dumps is the webcam cover.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't hate the webcam cover. I just don't think it's particularly useful. Like I said, I mean, it's got a nice little slidey design on it, but again, you know, a piece of sellotape is just as
equal
good.
In,
yeah. Although I found post-it notes don't work so well. They don't stick to the shiny cover of your screen.
Actually, post-it notes have not been sticking properly for the longest time. Have you bought any recent post-it notes that stick properly?
Maybe they have to use non-killer robot glue on the post-it note now. So before they were giving us all these endocrine disorders, and now they have to use something safe instead. Yeah. I don't know.
I've been having problems with my post-it notes. Anyways, we talked about AI.
If anyone has any solutions to Jeff's post-it
please tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell me what brand of post-it notes you're using, because it doesn't stick on my laptop.
Post-it notes is a brand.
Ah, right. So tell me what brand of sticky notes that you're using. Is that a brand as well? Right? I think there is. I've seen it before.
Sticky notes is a generic and Post-it is a patented.
All right. Okay. So let me know.
The things you learn on Geek Squad.
There we go. Now, we've talked about AI, you know, trying to take over our lives, you know, take over our jobs. They're trying to take over everything. And now they're going to create 3D paintings as well, because NVIDIA, they're obviously masters of 3D graphics. They've created an AI that can actually paint and can do 3D graphics better than us human artists can. And this is, again, one of those things like, yeah, I know they could do it better because they're AI, but It's the human element. Like Picasso, if he was an AI, we wouldn't be screaming, "Oh, look at how great Picasso is!" Because he's an AI.
I don't know. I kind of disagree with you on this
one,
because I think the starting point is still the human design. But what this does is allow you to animate and move the things a lot more effectively. Because it's never made sense to me that if you have a CGI movie, a computer-generated movie, you need a human person to generate every frame of the film. That's no different to – I mean, that's just doing an old-school animation on a computer. So I think this is just a case of technology catching up with the actual idea of these things. It makes a lot more sense to me that if I draw – Buzz Lightyear, then the computer can just, you know, I say, okay, make Buzz Lightyear run to his house, and the computer does it. I don't want to actually sit there and do 120 frames per second to get him to his house.
What I do like is that the AI robotics environment is known as Holodeck. It's actually named after the virtual reality simulator in the Star Trek series. So at least NVIDIA has a bit of a, I guess, an artistic side in naming some of their platforms here. Holodeck is a really nice name, but it's also very similar to HoloLens, which is the Microsoft's VR platform.
Well, I mean, it's just hologram, isn't it? So you just put hollow in the front of anything. But, you know, a hollow finger.
Sounds like Hello Moto now.
Yeah,
like.
But it does have great potential. I mean, I think one of the things in the article, it mentions that it can actually be used to help train AI.
Yeah.
So it can create virtual environments for building robots in. So robots can be building robots that are then trained inside VR to see how they would perform in real life, which is taking the kind of meta concept to a really, really strange level.
And it's cost effective as well, because it you know, apparently an estimate would say it will cost you about $4 million for a CPU-based system to do an animation project, compared to an AI system like this would only cost about $75,000.
That's what I mean. It makes no sense to have hundreds of people making Buzz Lightyear walk when he's a cartoon robot created on a computer. It makes more sense for the computer to make him walk. Otherwise, what's the computer for?
All right. I'm a big fan of Game of Thrones, man. And when I came across this next story that you sent over to me, I got really excited for one moment. And then I realized it's not real dragons we're talking
about. They are real dragons.
They are real dragons?
Yeah, Komodo dragons.
Okay.
No, I thought this was really nice, because, you know, you've got this subplot in Game of Thrones at the moment that it could be the dragons that are going to save humanity from the Walking Dead, the White Walkers, and the Night King, and all that kind of thing. But in reality, it looks like the blood of Komodo dragons could be a resolution to our issues with antibiotics. Now, it turns out that Komodo dragons, because they live, they're basically carrion, so they live essentially on dead stuff. they scavenge and they feast on carcasses, but they don't get sick. And that's partly because their blood is very rich in these kind of natural antibiotics. So what scientists are now doing is they're taking blood samples from Komodo dragons, and they're isolating the specific compounds in the blood that could be helped to overcome some of the superbugs that we face at the moment, the some of the E. coli and some of these viruses that we can't treat with the current generation of antibiotics. Because we've had this big problem for the last sort of 10 years that our antibiotics are running out. We haven't been developing new ones, and it's going to take us 10 or 15 or 20 years to actually come up with new cultures. And in the meantime, a lot of people can die of these infections that a few years before would have been treatable.
Yeah.
So now it seems that Komodo dragons could be the cure to many of our ills.
Wow.
But in the meantime, because still a lot of research has to be done, there aren't very many Komodo dragons. There are only about 1,500 left in the wild, apparently. So they can't really go around mass harvesting Komodo dragons. They are a protected species, and there aren't very many in captivity either. So we have this issue that researchers are looking into this, but we have this species that could be headed for extinction. But that species, before it goes extinct, we hope it can actually do something to, well, we hope it doesn't go extinct.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, that species could actually be crucial to our own survival for a lot of infections in the future.
They're actually really majestic creatures. I've seen one in person, and it looks, whoa, all right. I ain't going to mess with this. Yeah. I'm not going to mess with this.
They kind of freak me out. Yeah.
Anyways, Matt, now Geek Tunes.
Yes, we have a track from a band called Super Best Friends Club, which I believe is a line from South Park. Is that right?
Is that so?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, check it out.
Yeah, I might be wrong. But yes, we don't usually have art pop on Geek Tunes, but this morning we do. These guys, well, this particular track sounds like a Mumford & Sons that you won't actually hate. This is Love Is A Morning by Super Best Friends Club.
And it is from South Park. Yep, I just Googled it. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.